Good morning, church. Trust you all well. Welcome to week 5 of our journey, the spiritual journey that we've all been on together. And thank you for all those who are sharing their journaling and their songs and their poems and all of those things that we've put in on WhatsApp. Just a quick announcement that I made a few weeks ago about a car rally. We've had to cancel that because of COVID. We just couldn't make it happen. So, unfortunately, that's been cancelled, just in case you're sitting there waiting in anticipation for that to happen. This week we're up to 1 Samuel chapter 3, so I encourage you to stop the video there and just have a quick read of that, skim through and see what you can make of it. So how did you go reading the passage? Did you make any sense of it? There seems to me two guys at war with each other here. There's Joab and Abner. And just so we know, Joab is David's right-hand man, and Abner is Ishbosheth's right-hand man. And so they're loyal to each king, representing the different tribes, remember, of Israel. So Ishbosheth falsely accuses Abner of sleeping with his father's concubine, and Abner swears black and blue that he didn't. But because of the false accusation, Abner decides to switch sides and go and fight for David's group. And so he goes and meets with David, and he has this discussion, and he says, yeah, well, I'm going to make you the king over all of Israel. Yeah, I'm going to make it happen. And so off he goes to make it happen. Just after he leaves, Joab turns up, and Joab says, what are you doing talking to Abner? And he gets furious. He thinks Abner's still an enemy, and so he sends after Abner, and Abner comes back to talk to Joab, and Joab kills him. All this is done really without David's knowledge or David's approval. So this leads me to the main point of the passage, what I think anyway, is verse 39. This is David speaking. He says that even though I am the anointed king, these two sons of Zeruiah, Joab and Ahijah, are too strong for me to control. So may the Lord repay these evil men for their evil deeds. To me, there's really a great example of this the spiritual war that's going on for us. We are owners of our own body. We're almost rulers of our own land, in a sense. But the Bible talks about this idea of this battle, this spiritual battle going on within us. And there's the sin nature and the spiritual nature. And at times, the sin nature, it feels like they're too strong for us to control, and we really need God to step in. And so that's really going to be the focus of our message today, and the idea of a spiritual discipline that will actually equip us to actually win these battles against this strong sin nature. So because David was so upset with Joab, he cursed him, and he put this curse on Joab and caused him to get sick and have his generation after generation have disabilities and all sorts of things. And it reminded me of this, you know, when this internal conflict going on within us, that we too, we get sick. We're not really healthy, functioning the way that God wants us to be. Stress and anxiety cause all sorts of things going on in our bodies. And a lot of that is really due to an internal battle going on that's at war within us. In James chapter 4, James doesn't really separate the internal battle with the battle that's going on within the church. He links the two. He says, James 4, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? So he's linked the struggle within, and it's spilling out into the church. He says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. And you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So James' advice is, verse 7, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's interesting, isn't it, that the internal struggle has external consequences in sickness within ourselves or even relationally. And so it is important to go and sort those relationships out if there's some conflict going on. But I suggest before you follow the process in Matthew 18 of going and confronting a brother, that you take one step back and you examine yourself. You have a look at the evil intent that James is talking about here. That this external problem's really started with an internal battle that's going on within you. So because our sin nature is at war with our new spiritual nature that God has given us, it's a spiritual conflict. There's an internal battle raging, and it's a spiritual battle. And so we can't really talk about spiritual battles without moving to Ephesians chapter 6, can we? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about gearing yourself up with the whole armour of God. To be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on all of God's armour so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, he says, put on every piece of God's armour so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Standing on the ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armour of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God and the good news that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on salvation as a helmet, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So that leads us to the story of Christian on our Pilgrim's Progress journey. And today, Christian is gearing up for a battle with the sin nature. And just a warning to parents, you might want to watch this before you show it to your kids. Some of the pictures in this may be a little bit scary for younger kids, so you might just a warning or a heads up. So you remember last week, Christian was walking through this narrow beam of light following the path and narrowly escaping the lions. And he goes into this house where he's welcomed by some ladies there, discretion and charity and piety and prudence. And he has a really good night's sleep, a restful sleep. And in the morning, he wakes up and he's about to leave, but they say, no, you need to stay a bit longer. You need to gear up for the battle or for the journey ahead. And so they give him some armour in order to defeat this enemy that they know is down the road. So the ladies led Christian to the armoury, and it says, here they showed him some of the objects with which the servants of the Lord had done wonderful things. And they showed him Moses' rod and the hammer and the nail in which Jael slew Sisera, and the pitchers and the trumpets and the lamps too, which Gideon had put fight to the enemies of Midian. And they showed him the jawbone of an ass with which Samson did such mighty deeds. And they showed him the sling and the stone which David slew Goliath. Then they fitted out Christian with the armour which their Lord provided for the use of travellers, that they should be ready for any assault along the way, and that they should stand their ground when things were at their worst, and having done all to stand. First, the helmet and the breastplate that could save his life. Then the faithful shield to fend off the fiery darts of the wicked. And then the trusty sword that could cut through anything. And finally, his feet were shod with shoes that would never wear out. For he was setting out, they said, not against human foes, but against the wiles of the devil. So Christian left the house, with all the armour on, ready to go. Perhaps he said to himself, the worst is over. And all of a sudden, a darkness fell across the sun. What could it be? He roused himself, and there he saw stalking towards him the towering shape of a foul fiend. He was at least 9 feet high, and the nearer he came, the more hideous he grew. He had scales like a fish, and they were his pride. And he had wings like a dragon and feet like a bear. And out of his belly came fire and smoke. As it happens in a dream, Christian recognized the fiend at once, and he knew his name. It was Apollyon. Terrified, he cast his mind whether to go back or to stay firm. Then, considering that he had no armor on his back, and to turn his back to the monster would give him the advantage, he resolved to stay firm. And the fiend had now drawn very close, and he looked upon Christian with a disdainful countenance, and thus began to question him. Where have you come from? I've come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil. And by this I perceive that you are one of my subjects, said Apollyon. For I am the prince of that city, and all that city is mine. So after the questioning that went on for some time, they got into this fight, and it says the combat now lasted half a day. You couldn't imagine, if you had not been there, what yelling and roaring Apollyon made, and what sighs and groans and bursts from Pilgrim's heart. For you must know that by the reason of his wounds, Christian was growing weaker by the hour. And then Apollyon saw his chance, and he came close, and wrestling with Christian, he gave him such a dreadful fall that his sword flew from his hand. Now I'm sure of you, the fiend cried. And kneeling on him as he lay helplessly on his back, he pressed him near to death. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was preparing his final blow, thereby to make an end of a good man, Christian, he nimbly stretched out his hand for his sword, and he caught it, saying, Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And with that, he ran Apollyon through, and with a terrible roar, as one that had received a mortal wound, the fiend drew back. So we too are in this spiritual battle, aren't we? We're on this journey, we're constantly being attacked by different things, including the sin nature, and there are times when this sin nature really gets a hold in our life and feels like it's out of our control. Paul says, strap on the whole armour of God, gear yourself up so that you're ready to fight. James reminds us to resist the devil and he will flee from us. He says, come near to God and he will come near to you. So our spiritual discipline this week is prayer. It's about coming nearer to God. Ephesians 4 says, pray without ceasing. Never give up on prayer. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. So even though you may not be struggling, I encourage you to be praying for your brothers and sisters on the journey with you. They will need your prayers as well. You don't know what battles they're fighting internally. We can only see what's going on outside sometimes. We don't know those strong battles that are going on inside. So specifically, what I really encourage you to do this week is to name those habits that are too strong sometimes for us to control. If you can name them, in David's case, they were Joab and Abishai. But if you can name what these things are that have a real control in your life, and then just make that a focus. Hand them over to God. That's what David did. He said, these guys are out of my control. But he said, I'm going to let God deal with them. And so I really encourage you to do that with some of these sin nature habits. Just hand it over to God. Be persistent in your prayers and see what can happen with your spiritual battle this week. Thank you to all those who have been involved on the WhatsApp in the prayer, and I love the idea of gathering the army together, as Jeff suggested, and really praying for those who are in hospital and suffering and sick, and cannot really encourage you to keep that going. That's been fantastic. And continue to pray for your brothers and sisters and their spiritual journey as well. That's just as important, and I pray for you as you struggle with your sin habits as well. So let's do that today. So, Father, we just thank you that you are involved in us in every part of our lives. We thank you that nothing is too strong for you. And so when we hand over our spiritual battles and the things that are in our life that have a stronghold in our life, Father, we know that you will take control of those and conquer them. So we continue to pray for that daily this week. We pray for Jeff and we pray for Figaro as they go through some tests and operations this week, that, Lord, you'll be with them, that you'll guard them, that you'll keep them free from any infection, and that healing will happen quickly. Lord, we want them to know that we love them and that you love them and that you care for them. And so, Father, bring them back to us, we pray. And we pray for all of these things this week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You're the only answer to the darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie. My sword in every fight, the truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle. Darkness, light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us see in red. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it.